Brother Aaron's wife, welcoming you to today's edition of Fresh Fire Ministry. I hope that you've made your plans to stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we once again worship the Lord through the old-fashioned preaching of His precious Holy Word. I would like to remind you that the Fresh Fire Ministries radio broadcast is a listener-supported faith ministry, which means we are dependent upon the prayers and financial support of our listeners, just like you, to pay for airtime and production costs associated with this ministry. My husband and I take no salary from this ministry. In fact, we are financial supporters just like you. This is simply a labor of love for us. So if you enjoy these programs, I encourage you to become a financial supporter with us. No amount is too small and none is too large. And remember, all financial gifts are tax deductible. Also, we would love to be in service with you. I ask that you prayerfully consider having Brother Aaron come and preach for your next homecoming, revival, men's meeting, or even a regular Sunday service. It would be his honor to come. To correspond with us, you may call us locally at 706-302-9162 or toll free 1-800-511-9536. Our email, freshfire@mindspring.com. Or you may visit us on the web at www.freshfireministries.com. And always the regular mail, 1141 East Main Street in Hogansville, Georgia, 30230. Thanks for tuning in today. Now here's my husband, Brother Aaron, to tell you about today's broadcast.
Thank you, sweetheart. I appreciate you doing that each week so very, very much. And I appreciate all you listeners being in your place of listening faithfully to hear the Fresh Fire Ministries radio broadcast. I pray it's a blessing to you. Well, those who are used to hearing the program on WTRP 620 AM on Sunday mornings from 9 to 9:30, let me make you aware that you're hearing us and will be hearing us from now on a half hour earlier. We moved to the 8:30 to 9 a.m. slot on Sunday mornings on WTRP 620 a.m. and want you to make a note of that so that you won't miss a broadcast. We appreciate you listening. I know that many of you like to know where we're going to be from Sunday to Sunday so you can join us whenever possible. Let me make you aware that this coming Sunday, May the 7th at 11 a.m., we'll be preaching at the Dunson Baptist Church over on Barnard Avenue in LaGrange. And we invite you to come be with us. That's where my good friend, Brother Kenneth Cole, serves as pastor. Also, our daughter Stephanie will be with us, and she'll be singing that morning. This is just a regular Sunday service. So if you have opportunity, you come be with us this coming Sunday, 11 a.m., at the Dunson Baptist Church on Barnard Avenue in LaGrange, Georgia. Also, let me make you aware that this coming Tuesday, May the 9th at 7 p.m., I'll be preaching in the Tent Revival that Davidson Baptist Church on Highway 18 in West Point, Georgia, is conducting. That's where Brother Howard Longshore, my good friend, serves as the pastor. So 7 o'clock Tuesday night down at the Davidson Baptist Church off Highway 18, Tent Revival. Be preaching there. You come be with us if you can. All right, today you're going to hear a sermon I preached this past week, Sunday night, at the Church on the Rock in West Point, Georgia, during their revival. Had a great time there. And it's entitled, The Great Emptying Before the Great Filling. I hope you get a blessing out of the message today.
And the text scripture I've read to you tonight, many things are in play. Elisha is the head of a guild or an association of prophets and their wives. Perhaps not too dissimilar to what we would call a seminary today. One of his students has died. Now, if I had unlimited time, I'd just stop right there and preach a while on the thought that God's people are not exempt from life. Amen? But I don't. One of the students has died. The student's wife is now a widow. She has two sons to raise on her own. And her husband has left her in debt. And she owed a debt that she had no visible means to pay. The creditor is on the way to collect the debt. And her failure to pay means that her two sons, who were used as collateral on a note for the debt, will be taken into slavery to satisfy the debt. Now, I wondered, I'm just going to take a short aside here a minute. I wonder how many of you older folk in here like me who've done raised your children or into grandchildren and even great-grands, have ever seen a moment in the raising of your children where if a creditor was going to come repossess him, you would have gift-wrapped them and said, here they are. Take them. Go ahead. Don't threaten me with prosperity. Amen. But that's just an aside. Now, not knowing what else to do. Now, this is an act of desperation. When you know what you know what you do, when you don't know what else to do, you go to the preacher. Amen. So, in an act of desperation, she comes to the preacher and says, your student, my husband, has died. What are we going to do? And Elisha says, he begins to take an inventory. And he asks, what have you got in the house? And she says, nothing except just a little bit of oil. How many of you know tonight, if I had another hour, I'd go on this one for a while. God uses what you've got.
Amen.
Amen. Now we go a little further with this. He then begins to give her some instructions. He told her to go borrow every pot, jug, vessel, whatever she could find from her neighbors. Go get it. The only qualification was that it had to be an empty vessel. An empty vessel. Now, she does this. And he says, now you put them in a room, and then you go in, you shut the door behind you, and you start pouring oil into the vessels. And as they fill up, then you set them aside. And she does. And she did this until every vessel was full. Then she went to the man of God and told him what had happened. And he told her to go sell the oil, pay the creditor, and for her and her sons to live off the rest. Not only did God pay her debt, he gave her a retirement program in the process. Amen. I want you to know tonight, that's the God I serve. That's him. That's the God I serve. And I believe this sermon is going to set the tone and tenor of your revival this week that you are seeking to experience. Amen. Now, to experience the revival you seek, realize, number one, emptiness always precedes a filling. Amen. Amen. I didn't know I was going to use this, but she just brought this. Amen. I want you to look at the difference of these two. Which one do you think I could feel the most? This one or this one? This one. Why? Because I have almost emptied this one. This one is still full. I cannot feel what is already full. Amen.
Amen.
Now that's the way revival comes. There has to be an emptying of all the stuff in our life. Well, I'm going to preach a sermon one day on stuff. Amen. Just stuff that's in our life. Some of it, you can't even identify it, but it's there. Amen. How many of you ever moved and found things, Lord, that you had been lost for 30 years? And some of it you look at and you say, what is that? And your spouse says, I don't know. It's stuff. It appears mysteriously. It takes up space. Oh, that's another sermon for another day. But listen, if you don't hear any other thing I say tonight, or any other thing any other preacher says this week, church, hear what I'm about to say. God loves to fill empty things.
Amen.
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 Hear another thing, though. Sometimes this emptying process that we got to go through is very painful. Now, before this woman, a godly woman, now note that, she was a godly woman. This wasn't some heathen out there. This was the preacher's wife. Amen. Amen. A godly woman who had devoted her life to God. Before she could experience the miracle I read to you, she must first go through an emptying process. Her emptying process cost her husband. It cost her finances. It cost her hope. She lost all hope. She was in poverty. She couldn't provide for her sons. But I'm going to tell you something else it required of her. You may have never thought of this. It required everything she had even her last bottle of oil. When she was down to one bottle of oil, she still wasn't empty enough. Oh, Lord, now, come on now, help me a little bit. The prophet said, what have you got left? She said, I've got one bottle of oil left. And the prophet could have just as easily looked at her and said, well, honey, you're one bottle of oil away from the greatest filling you will ever experience in your life.
Amen.
Well, amen.
Amen.
It cost her her pride. All her neighbors knowing that she was about to lose her sons to the creditor. And there she was, I picture in my mind. She's going to the preacher and she's bearing her soul to him. And then she's running up and down the streets like a crazy woman. Borrowing every vessel. Now do you realize how crazy she must have looked to her neighbors? Well, you got left, sweetheart. Well, I got one bottle of oil, but I need to borrow your vessel. And your vessel, 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 and your vessel. And what I got? I got one bottle of oil left. Amen. What do you need all them vessels for? For one bottle of oil. Because that's what God said do.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. But she came and she poured it out. And she was empty as empty could be. But consider this. Now, here's just some shouting ground right here. Could it be that her great emptiness meant that now God had her right where he wanted her?
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Amen. Listen, she could not experience the great filling God had in store for her without first experiencing the great emptying. Now, church, for the past couple of years, you've been walking through a great emptying process.
Amen.
I don't mean to embarrass you, but I'm not telling anything that's not public. I'm not telling anything nobody else doesn't already know. I've walked with you through portions of it. And for whatever the reason, and there's enough blame to go around for everybody to have a share and take one home with them. Somebody say amen. You've witnessed your congregation shrink in size. You've watched your finances dwindle. You watched as somebody broke into this fellowship hall and stole the pipe off the water heater and didn't even have the common courtesy to turn the water off before they did. And it flooded in here. Amen. You've experienced the horrific event of your sanctuary collapsing and the insurance company denying payment. But just like the old Timex commercial, church, you've took a licking, but you've kept on a ticking. Amen. Woo! While many others would have thrown in the towel, you're still here.
Amen.
You know what some of the greatest victories in life are? It's when the devil has lowered his big guns and fired point blank, and like a cartoon of years ago, when all the dust clears, your hair may be standing up, your eyes, your glasses may be sideways, your clothes may be ragged, but you're still there.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you,
it may be just a bottle of oil you got left, but that's enough for the Lord.
Amen.
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 Listen, you're empty, church. You're empty, but here's the good news. I think I told you before, God loves to fill empty things. And just like this woman, God may have you right where he wants you now to Amen. Fill you with his presence.
Amen.
Experience this revival, you see, there's got to be an emptying that precedes the filling. But number two, you got to gather the vessels for the filling. I may get raptured on this point. I know what's coming. Amen. Verse number three, then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. There's a blessing coming, and you better have enough vessels to catch it. Amen.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Now note, sometimes it's just as important to see what the Bible doesn't say as it is to see what it did say. Jesus did not give a schematic denoting a required height, circumference, and volume of oil that the vessels could hold. He didn't do that. He didn't specify what material the vessel had to be made of. He just instructed her Go get as many vessels as you can find.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And the only stipulation was they got to be empty.
Amen.
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 Empty vessels come in all different sizes and shapes. Some that she got might have been as big as a number three washtub. These young folks in here ain't got a clue what I'm talking about. But you older folks, you my crowd, you know what we're talking about. Some might be the size of a number two washtub. Some might be the size of a foot tub. Now I'm just going to take a little trip down the nostalgic highway for a moment. You young folks, you listen to me. I'm older than dirt. Amen. I've been around long enough when God said, let there be light, I hit the switch. Amen. No. I can remember my mama taking us out on the back porch and filling a wash tub with water. And all four of us youngins would get a bath in that same number three wash tub. I was the baby. I got to go first. Hallelujah. Thank God for the little things in life. Amen. How many of y'all been there and done that? How many of y'all got to go first? How many of you had to go after the first one, boy? Woo! Dirty water, dirty water. But listen, some might be the size of a dishpan. Some might look like a gallon jug. And some might be an empty coffee cup or a glass size. The size didn't matter. Listen, they come in all different shapes and sizes. What mattered was that they were empty and could hold their measure of oil when it came.
Amen.
Listen, again, the empty vessels required for the miracle came in all different sizes and shapes, but it took all of them. Now listen to me. Here's your shouting ground. Before your filling can come, you need to go out into the hedges and byways.
Amen.
And find as many empty vessels as you can find.
Amen.
And tell them, say, come into the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Woo, amen. Amen. And they say, why are we coming? Because there's a filling on the way.
Amen.
Hey, what's it going to look like when it gets here, Howard? I don't know. I ain't never seen it before. Just know it's on the way.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy. Some of them might be fat vessels. Some of them may be skinny vessels. Some of them might be tall vessels. Some of them might be short vessels. Woo! Some of them might have hair like me. Amen. Some of them might be bald like you. Some of the vessels are male, some are female, some are white, some are black, some are something else. But that's not the criteria. The criteria is come empty, looking for a filling. Woo! Hallelujah. Lord, some of them ain't gonna walk like you. They're not going to talk like you, and they're going to not act like you, to which I say, thank God.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Man, wouldn't it be bad if ever a preacher preached like Aaron McCullough? That'd be horrible. I'm going to tell y'all what cruel and unusual punishment is. I've been doing this radio ministry for, I don't know, well over 20 years, probably 25, 27, 28 years. When I first started the thing, we had cassette tapes. We didn't have all of this computer stuff that we got now. And hey, technology is wonderful when it works. Amen. But to edit these programs, and back then I'd do about 6 weeks at a time. And the only way I had to know the length of the program back then was to listen to them in real time with a stopwatch. Because you only pay for 30 minutes. And guess what? At 30 minutes and 1 second, somebody cuts you off. Amen.
Amen.
So you got to get it edited down to where you want it. You want to know what cruel and unusual punishment was? I was doing my own editing. And for once out of about every 6 weeks, I said I'd do about six at a time. All day long, I'd have to sit and listen to myself preach. And I was like, oh, God, please deliver me. Oh, no. And I'm going to tell you one other thing, and I'm going to quit running rabbits. When I was pastoring at Hillier Baptist Church, they recorded everything on cassette tapes. And after I'd been gone there for a while, S.T. Janney called me one day. He was pastoring there. He said, we're going to have homecoming, and we're cleaning out. And we've come across a whole box full of your sermons. Would you like them? Boy, Steve, my face lit up, and I said, ooh, would I like them? Oh, I found they're going to give me a box full of nothing but pure gold. I went and got them sermons. My wife and I were headed down to Catawba to preach one Sunday morning. And I said, listen to this, baby. Let's listen. And I popped it in the cassette player. I listened to it for about 10 minutes. And that was all I could take. That's it. And I ejected that thing. And we had to preach up at the hill during a couple of weeks. I said, baby, before I can do anything, the first thing I got to do when I go in there is apologize to the people. But listen. God fills empty vessels. They need to be empty, seeking a filling. Now, as you walk through the Bible, you'll find all kind of empty vessels, different shapes and sizes, looking for a filling. In John chapter 4, Jesus encountered a woman at the well. Her life was empty. She needed a filling. She's drawing water from a physical well, but she's empty. She was thirsty. The well of the universe, the well of life, was sitting on the well. So you had the well on a well. Amen. And she was still thirsty. But bless God, he told her, said, lady, if you knew who it was that you're talking to, that I'd give you water that you'd never thirst again. Amen. And she said, Lord, give me of that water. And she went running into town and told them all, said, come see a man who told me all things ever I did. He filled her. Amen. Listen, amen. She was an empty vessel. There's an old song, and you're going to find out right now. Why Buddy Lyle sings and Aaron McCullough preaches. I'm just going to read you the lyrics. Oh, I'm going to give y'all something. Y'all can do what you want to do. I'm going to make every one of you mad right here, especially if you're a singer. Next time you get up and you want to say, listen to the way I, don't listen to the way I sing this. Listen to the words. I know what you're saying, everybody. I've said it myself. But no, if that's really your criteria, then don't sing. Just get up and read the words. Amen, buddy. Amen. Do what you want to with that. The lyrics go like this. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry.
Amen.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me. Till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Did I mention to you that Jesus loves to fill empty things?
Amen.
In John chapter 6, he encounters a crowd with empty stomachs. Baptist. Amen. You know what? He said, I'm the bread of life.
Amen.
And he multiplied and he filled them. In the home of Jairus, he encounters the emptiness that only death brings. Jairus' daughter had died. But when Jesus got through, he had filled the house with his presence, and he had substituted life for death. He fills empty things. Jesus encountered the emptiness of no hope when he encountered a woman taken in adultery. But he fills her emptiness with hope like she had never known before.
Amen.
When he said, what? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more.
Amen. Amen.
When we examine the whole of Jesus' life, it could be reduced to two words. Jesus fills. Amen. He fills empty vessels.
Amen.
Emptiness always precedes a filling. We have to gather the vessels for filling. But we must go to the place where the filling is transpiring. Verse 4, and when thou art come in. That's what he said to her, and when thou art come in. Where was she going to come into? Home. It started at home. The miracle happened at home. She made a place and a space for God in her home. And then the miracle occurred. And it spilled over to society. But you know what? Not everybody in the Bible that could have been filled got filled. Some walked away empty. There was a rich young ruler. He had too much stuff in his life. Money, things. And God couldn't fill him. The Pharisees studied the law, didn't have room for Jesus. They went away empty. Jesus wants to fill this church with his presence. He wants to send revival. The question is, will we let him? In Luke 14, 16 through 24, you're going to find a story about a great banquet. And I'm about 10 minutes from being through, so don't get worried. Amen. Many were invited to this banquet. They were the people of God that was invited, not the heathens, to this banquet. All began to make an excuse. The underlying question Jesus is answering. Now, we're going to slow down for a minute. I want you to hear this. This is the underlying question of this sermon and of that feast. Jesus is asking, what is occupying the space in your life meant for God? Wow. You look at that great banquet, they begin to make excuses. The first one said, I need to go survey a field. You know what that means? Personal gain. You know what that, you know, I'm getting back to my one word. You know what my one word is? Stuff. And I need to go survey this stuff in my life. We think stuff can fill the void in our life that Jesus needs to be in. Do you know that advertisers know that? Advertisers will take 30 seconds or one minute, 60 seconds at the most usually, and they will have you convinced if you will just go buy your wife that new bedroom suit, she'll be happy. Amen. They'll have you convinced if you go buy that Jaguar XKE red convertible and you can drive through the mountain roads, you will be happy. The void will be filled. But I'm here to tell you tonight, there's a void in our life that only God can fill.
Amen.
That only God can fill. Amen. I'm going to give you, this is an Aaronism right here. I'm going to give you some help. If you ever get feeling like there's something empty missing in your life, Howard, you get feeling real empty, kind of get real down. Debbie not treating you kind of like you think she ought to. I know she don't do that much, but probably didn't have that shirt washed when you wanted to wear it, so you had to get another one or something. You kind of get feeling down and out and blue. And then them advertisers come on and they say, go buy that new bedroom suit. Go buy that new car. You'll be happy. You'll be uplifted. Now, brother, I know that ain't never happened with you and Lindy. I know that. No. But I will give you guys some help. If you ever get to feeling down and out and feeling empty and you want to be lifted up, this won't cost you much. Just go to Waffle House. You say, why just go to Waffle House? That when you get my age, that waitress will come up. Well, hello, sweetheart. How are you today, baby? Honey, what can I get you off the menu? And they'll, sweetheart and honey and baby you, and you'll go out and say, yes, sir. That's me. You go in lower the snake's belly, and you come out and say, zip buddy doo da, zip run your hand through your hands. Still, old man, still got it. Woo, woo! Somebody need to help me a little bit right here.
Friend, this is Brother Aaron. It's my prayer that something you've heard on the broadcast today has spoken to your heart. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today would be a wonderful day to meet Him. Let me tell you, there's no magic words to pray. Just simply the best way you know how. Call on God in prayer and ask Him to come into your heart and your life and be your Lord and Savior, and He'll do that. Perhaps you know Him as your Savior but haven't been living for Him. Then, again, there's no magic words. Just the best way you know how, from the very bottom of your heart, call out to the Lord and ask Him to restore to you the joy of His salvation in your life. And, my friend, I promise you, if you'll do that in faith, either one, He'll be faithful to come into your heart and life and restore life to you. We would love to have the opportunity to stand with you in prayer. So give us a call at 706-302-9162 or 1-800-511-9536 and tell us if you prayed either one of those prayers. And also, visit us on the web, www.freshfireministries.com.
All right. Hope to see you next week right here. Bye-bye.